This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. Well, welcome back to Finding the Funny, everyone. We're really excited this week. I think you'll agree, Ange.
Oh, yeah.
Because later on in the episode, we've got Cece Coleman of First Dates fame. First Dates is a show that we love.
Oh, my Lord. I bloody love that show.
Me too.
I'm very excited for Cece Coleman.
Cece Coleman. Mm. So she's going to be joining us a little bit later. But before that, Ange, how have you been?
I've been bloody great, actually, Pats. And I think that's really in part because of the weather. It has been bloody beautiful.
It's freezing here. It's not beautiful here.
Is it not?
Oh, it is freezing and grey. Oh, God, no, it's horrible here.
We have got blue sky and sunshine.
Oh, no, yeah. No, no. We had that yesterday, but today it's shitting awful.
Yeah. And actually, I think, the whole of last weekend was just like glorious.
Oh, glorious.
Glorious.
Hey, listen, I saw quite a funny meme this week that I thought I'd share with you.
Mm.
And it said, I can't believe Busted went all the way to the year 3000 and didn't think to warn us about 2020.
I mean, fair enough.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, all
what
right,
the hell
Busted.
Were they doing?
Also, that song, I went to the year 3000, not much has changed, but we lived underwater. Then everything has fucking changed.
Yeah, it's shit. It's a shit song. It is a shit song.
For them not to let us know, just give us a heads up in the bridge section.
2021 is going to be an absolute shit show, guys.
Don't hold out for that one. Get ready now. You're going to be in lockdowns.
Yeah.
In
for,
and out
for
in
like
out.
You know 2 years.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Just on last week's episode at the end, I if you haven't listened, I spoke about a drug addiction that Matthew had and kind of how we worked through it, and I had so many messages, so I think both Ange and I both did, but thank you so much for all of your kind of lovely words. But this one particularly kind of stuck with me, and I thought I'd read it. This person wants to remain anonymous. It says, Ruth, I wanted to send a thank you for being so open and honest regarding life with drug addiction. My stepdad was a high-functioning heroin addict. He had a 9-to-5 job and was an exceptionally charming man. I vividly remember a couple of days a month him being bedroom bound. Now I realise he was going cold turkey and my mum would barely speak. He went to rehab but never really recovered or got clean. I remember the confession story that the rehab programme made him write to us, and he admitted that he left my mum and newborn baby brother in the hospital to go and score. The lying, the deceit and the turmoil is something that you articulated so well. He actually passed away last month, leaving my 16-year-old brother behind. He died of COPD due to many years of smoking various drugs. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad your story is one with such a positive ending. It takes a strong partnership to weather the storm of addiction. Lots of love.
What a lovely message.
Yeah, and what an incredible like strength to be able to sort of acknowledge and write that, really. Like, you know, it's that's the thing. Addiction takes so many people every year. I think it's one of the things that we don't talk about or realize, the amount of people that die. And it's interesting because at the beginning of every NA meeting they say drugs lead to prisons, institutions and death. So it's not prisons, institutions or death. It's like actually the only path this leads to is either prisons and institutions and death. So thank you to that listener for sharing your story with us. That was amazing.
And I think the thing that speaks volumes about is that like ripple effect.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's happening to that particular individual, but actually the effect that has on so many people, on so many lives in so many ways for you know, years and years and years sometimes. And yeah, I think it's just important to sort of remember that does affect people for a very long time.
Ange, listen, I don't know what you're going to say here, but what's been getting on your shitting tits this week?
What's
been getting on your shitting tits?
Right, now then. This has actually been something that's come about more during pandemic.
Okay.
There's a phrase that people keep saying that's really starting to get on my shitting tits.
Oh, no.
Right, now it came about predominantly from I saw Bonnie Tyler. You know, the Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah. Oh, God, I don't know where this is.
What was that? What was her main song? Total Eclipse of the Heart. Yeah. That one.
Yeah. So from Watership Down.
Is it?
What?
The rabbit one? The bunnies? Yeah.
Is it? In that. I don't know. Anyway, carry on.
Anyway, so I saw Bonnie Tyler being interviewed on BBC. That's Bright Eyes.
Oh, no, that's Bright Eyes. That's Bright Eyes.
What, that song to do with the rabbit
thing? Oh my God, that is hilarious. As soon as I said that, I thought, I'm going to check the chat because producer Joe will know. Joe is like an encyclopedia of everything. He'll know. And as soon as I looked at the chat, I was like,
oh yeah, that's Bright Eyes.
That's Bright Eyes.
That's Bright Eyes.
Yeah, Ange, come on. You've turn into absolutely loving singing on the podcast. What's going on? Like 3 weeks in a row now.
I like to put a little jingle in. When we're talking songs, I like to just refer to the song. Okay. So anyway.
That was Bright Eyes. Back to Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler. Did she sing Bright Eyes though?
No.
No. Okay. So absolutely nothing to do with it.
She did anything to do with Watership Down in any way, shape, or form.
Why did you think that?
Why did I think the start of Brown Eyed Girl was Hey There Amigo?
Well, it does sound a bit like that, but anyway. So I hear Bonnie Tyler on BBC Breakfast.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Total Eclipse of the Heart, right? And they're talking to her about, you know, obviously living during the pandemic, and I think she was due to have some tour that obviously hasn't happened. Right. Yada, yada, yada. Right?
Yeah.
And she said, well, we're all living in the same boat. Right? So it's that phrase. Right. She then went on to say how she has spent the whole of the pandemic in her summer home in the Algarve.
We are not in the same.
Exactly.
Bonnie Tyler.
You are not in the same fucking boat, Bonnie.
No. You're in a yacht. True.
I'm in a little fishing boat.
I'm in a dinghy. I'm in a fucking dinghy.
Yeah,
my size in a dinghy, Bonnie Tyler, does not bode well.
Means that you're actually drowning.
Yeah. Means that it's actually, I'm watching it deflate around me.
But just that,
yeah, we're all in the same boat.
I actually was shouting at the TV. Fuck off, Bonnie. You're in the Algarve. You've been in the Algarve since last fucking March. Right? So stop telling us that we're all in the same boat, because we're not.
No, we're not.
And I've found people saying that a lot. It's like the whole, we've chatted about this before, you know, your Kardashians pissing off on a holiday.
Yeah.
Right? They are not in the same boat.
No.
They're on a shitting yacht in the Bahamas.
I've heard people say, how do you feel about this one? Because I've heard people say, we're all in the same storm, but we're in very different boats.
What?
We're all in the same, so we're all going through the pandemic, but we're in very different boats. Some of us are in your dinghies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's more accurate, isn't it?
Yeah. But how do you feel about that?
I still think it's a shit saying.
Because I've heard loads of, especially like high profile celebrities say, well, you know, I appreciate we're all in the same storm, but we're in very different boats.
No, actually, now I've thought about that more, I disagree.
Okay, we're not in the same storm.
No.
No, that's what I think.
How can you be in the same storm in your summer home in the Algarve?
In the Algarve or in the Bahamas.
You are not in the same storm.
No.
You're living a fucking great life.
And also, you're living like there's not a storm.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You're living in the balmy seas.
Yeah, you're like, oh, God, what storm? Yeah. I'm fine over here.
Yeah.
It's like I've done my massive Halloween party that I wanted to do. I've gone on the private jet that I own and gone to the Bahamas and taken half my family with me. I've stayed in a summer house in the Algarve.
Yeah.
It's like we're not in the same storm.
No.
We're not in the same boat.
So stop saying that we are.
Let's just stop banging on
about
storms and boats.
Yeah.
I've got a dickish behaviour to bring this week.
Right, come on then, Pat, hit me with it.
It sort of goes back to meetings. I know that I talk a lot about office work stuff, but that is some of the places that I find the most dickish behaviour.
And also, that's all we're bloody doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's when people in meetings, like you'll be chatting away, you know, you're talking, and then so-and-so, and then, you know, Sandra, she brought up something. Don't minute this, please, Carol. Don't minute this. And everybody's like, oh God, what's she going to say about Sandra? Carol, can you turn your camera on? So I see you've put your pen down. Don't minute this. Sandra bought the last prawn sandwich in the canteen yesterday, and I was seriously pissed. And you're like, oh God, is that it? Is that it? And then the other thing is that everyone then cracks up. Why do people find stuff in offices so funny when it's not funny? It's like we turn into people at Wimbledon. You know, when like a pigeon flies on the court at Wimbledon, everyone's like, ah! God, and there's the guy in his tennis-shaped hat. Fucking hell, this is hilarious. And it's just not funny.
No.
And that sort of transcends into office meetings. Mm. People crack up at things.
Guffawing.
Don't minute this. Say something that's not funny and everyone on the Zoom is laughing. Yeah. And I'm sat there thinking, God, I'm glad I've got my camera off. Because this is not funny.
This is utter shite.
Yeah. Or if the other thing that I find dickish is if the minuter pipes up and says, you're talking, you know, you'll be sort of semi-slagging someone off. The minuter comes in. Ruth, should I not minute this? What do you fucking think? I don't want to send these minutes out to Sandra, or I've called her a two-faced cow. Do you want?
I would absolutely love it if that all got minuted.
Yeah, me too.
If it actually was in the minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Sandra,
and you sent it out.
Or Carol, or whoever it is that's taking the minutes, she's literally put everything in there.
Every single verbatim.
Everyone's been slagging off Terry. Let's call him Terry. Everyone's slagging off Terry. And Carol has minuted the whole damn thing.
Because nobody said, don't minute this. And
exactly.
She didn't check.
No.
But like, you'll be on a meeting. Everybody's got their camera on apart from the person that's doing the minutes. And you'll just hear out of nowhere, you know, like black screen. Should I minute this, Carol? No, probably don't put this in, actually. It's not relevant to the meeting and it's a bit bitchy. So thanks very much.
So maybe just leave that.
Yeah. Well, we are both incredibly excited to welcome onto Finding the Funny this week, Cece Coleman. Cece is best known probably for her appearances in First Dates. She's actually my favourite waitress in First Dates. Little fact for you there.
She's not mine.
But also,
I actually prefer the males.
Not a surprise, you hussy. Anyway, on top of that, Cece has just launched a brand new radio show with who I call Pirate Pete from TOWIE, and that is on FUBAR Radio. Cece, we're so grateful for you coming on to Finding the Funny. Everyone welcome, basically, me and you, Ange. Cece Coleman!
Yes! Cece Coleman in the house.
Wow, what an intro.
Cece, just remind me what your dating show is called, because I forgot to mention it. What's your dating show called?
Literally that, The Dating Show.
The Dating Show. The dating
original show. Name we could have thought of. We're like, The Dating Show.
How did that come about? How did starting that with Pete from TOWIE come about?
So I have worked with FUBAR for about 3 years now on the other side, so being a guest on the show. Got the opportunity, I think, over the last 18 months to co-host with people. And it just went so well. And I've always said to them, if there's something I can do, I want to do it, you know, around dating. Because you can be free on there. You can say whatever you want. You know, you can swear. And I love a swear word. So finally, we got there, and then Pete came on First Dates 2 years ago. So, he came to the hotel.
I did not know that.
Yeah, in Italy. And I was doing Merlin's role that day. So I got to literally ask everything that I want to ask, because with Merlin's role, you can do that. It's like, I just thought he's great. And so he was one of the ones that I'd said, well, maybe we look at, you know, getting Pete as a co-host. And it's just, it's worked so well. Really, really well.
Brilliant. He's also really attractive, isn't he?
He's a very beautiful man. He is my gosh. Yes, he is.
He is not harsh on the eye at all. No. So, Pete, if you're listening, which I hope you are, because if you're not a fan of Finding the Funny, if you've never heard of it, where the fucking hell have you been? I'm talking directly down the airwaves to you, Pete. If you want to go on a date, why not? Let's hook up.
Let's just put in there very quickly, Pete, that Ruth, a.k.a. Petty, as she's known on the podcast, is actually married. So... Probably best not to go down, Pete. Although I'm sure she would leave Marty for you.
Mate, 100%. Have you seen Pete from Towie Ange?
I have, but I have to say he's not really my cup of char.
I mean, seriously, nothing against Pete.
He seems like a good guy, he seems like a decent bloke, but he's just not my bag. Really.
He seems like a bloody good bloke. He's just not what you'd go for.
No, exactly, no, exactly. Fair enough, and that's exactly. That's fine, you know?
He is. You know, he's surprisingly nicer in person as well.
Yeah,
I think he's given this sort of name on Towie, isn't he, of like the love rat and everything else. Yeah. But he is actually a really, and he's very switched on, like quite emotionally intelligent. And I think that's why we have really good conversations, quite deep. So he's fun. We have a lot of fun on it.
Ange and I do a thing called The Big Questions, and we decided this week that we thought we'd put some big questions to you. So, Ange, shall we?
Let's do Le Big Questions. That's what we
do. So we make up our own jingles on this show. Budget is very tight.
I can tell. Yeah. It is great.
We write the theme tune, we sing the theme tune.
We sing it. Yeah, we do the chat.
Very tight budget.
Wow.
So we are going to ask you some questions about first dates as well.
Okay.
Because it's a show that Ange and I both love.
Oh, my gosh.
It's one of my favourite TV shows, straight
and
up, not just
can I just
that.
Say as well, Cece, my son, I have a 17-year-old, soon to be 18, holy shit, your old son. And that is one of the programmes that we watch together.
Because
we love it, and we love like the stories that come out from the people you have on, and actually now with obviously teen dates starting, it's even better for us because he fits in that bracket, so it kind of brings lots of chat for us.
Has he been on any dates? Has he done that part yet?
No. I mean, he had a girlfriend sort of the last year of secondary school, so that would have been like 15, 16. But I think this is the thing that I found through watching Teen Dates and having I've got a teenage son and a teenage daughter, is actually, I think this is the thing that I think this programme has been really good at highlighting, is actually that doesn't tend to happen that much anymore.
No.
Because of, I think, social media predominantly, you know, that you can meet someone, I mean, obviously not in a club at the moment because no one's going anywhere. But I don't know.
Tinder. You could meet someone on Tinder.
Yeah, you could. And I just think it's that immediate, like, you might not even know them, but you can connect with them straight away. You can have a chat. Yeah. So it kind of takes out that element of that sort of dating scene, I think. And I think that's what doing this sort of spin-off program, I think is absolutely brilliant.
Can we call it courting, please, guys? Can we refer to it as
courting?
Proper name.
Courting.
From the 1950s of courting. So what has it been like doing teen dates as opposed to first dates?
Yeah.
What, like somebody watching from the outside, what's been the biggest difference for you on the show?
Do you know what? We've had so much fun doing teen dates. We had no idea what it was going to be at the start. When they mentioned it, I thought, oh, God, hang on a minute. You're putting, you know, 16-year-old kids on dates. Like, is that... I don't know how I feel about this. Suddenly I felt really old as well. I was like, oh my God, I feel old now. Am I the mum in this? Am I the like the sister? Am I the auntie? Like, what's my role? Anyway, after like, you know, we had lots of chats over it. Seeing it happen, but the thing with first dates is you do really have to see it happen for it to work. Like day one, 7 years ago, I just thought, what the hell am I doing? Yeah. What do you want me to do? I don't get it. Where's my script? You know, I'm a thespian. Where? And there isn't one. You know, you just talk to people and you be human.
Yeah.
With teens, the level of conversation is, I find, more interesting because they're more interested. Everything's exciting. You know, they're like, oh, wow, waitress. Oh, wow, food. You know, oh, wow, steak. You know, oh, my God, what's that? And it's like the sauce. Whereas adults, we're like, you know, where is the sauce? And kids are just fascinated by life and by each other. And their nerves are, I just think it's so beautiful watching people nervous because they're trying so hard to be their mum or their dad or their, you know, someone they've seen in a movie. And it's like, you don't want to patronise them by being consistently saying, you know, oh, bless you, oh, bless you. But all you want to do is go over and hug them and say, you are doing fine, I promise you. Me at 16, I was a complete twat. You are doing good.
So, I mean, I'd be saying, me at 16, I was a twat. I'm still a twat now.
100%. Yeah. So,
you know, really, I don't think I've actually grown up.
No. The difference, I think, when I was 16 to how they are now, and it might be because of social media and, like, I guess the education, if you can call it that, that they're getting, is they're so advanced. They're so, they know themselves. There was a guy on that, he just blew my mind. He was talking to this, his date, and she was quite insecure. And this guy was 18, but he knew to say to her, he said, I'm going to compliment you for the next 10 minutes so that you feel comfortable in your own skin. And I thought, you're 18. How do you know to do that? You know, older men, you take note of that because, compliment. Yeah. And they're just very, I found them very switched on and way more educated and emotionally and in all the other ways than I ever was at that age.
Now, look, I've got to ask, Cece.
I know what's coming.
I feel like I need to prepare for this.
I've got to ask about Fred.
Angie's obsessed with Fred.
Right.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
When I see Fred, I do have to control myself a little bit because I think, you know, you see, I take Fred over Pete every day.
I mean, I like Fred. I think he's a really handsome guy, and I love the Francais. I love
that's
the French.
That's what it is. It's the
but in a lineup,
thing.
I'd pick Pete over Fred. I think, but I think Fred's great. I love him, and I think he is very attractive.
What do you like? I need to know like the real deal about Fred. Like it, you know, what I see on the TV, Fred being all French, sexy, va va boom. Renault sort of vibes.
I love this. Va-va-voom.
Yeah, you know.
Your va-va-vooms.
Is he that kind of sexy in real life?
Suave.
So he obviously he's my boss. So there's a level that's like it feels great. But I've worked with Fred in the restaurant and I've worked with him in his restaurant in like outer filming. So I worked in the office. Yeah. So I got to see a different side to him.
Side of Fred, yeah.
And I think he's more lovely in real life because he has a warmth that he doesn't get to show as much because he's on TV and he's doing his job. You know, you turn up to work and you don't turn up going, here's my life story. Not that he did that, but, you know, you don't do that. I do, but not everyone does.
So do I.
Oh, poor me.
I'm an overshare a big time here.
Yeah, big time.
This is going to go well, isn't it?
Yeah. I think we're going to be sharing everything about our lives.
Oh, yeah.
Buckle up, guys. It's going to be a long ride.
Tissues. But Fred, seeing that side of him was, I feel like he's got a little special place in my heart because I never say to him, oh, I love your warmth, because he's not, I'm gooey and he's not, you know, he's you do your job and I'm, you know, I'm like a Labrador. But that's the way I feel about him. He's just got and the way he speaks about his children, you know, there's just love. It's pure love. And that is, I mean, that says a lot about a person anyway, doesn't it?
The way they speak
so highly of their children. So,
it's
nice seeing both sides, I think.
Yeah.
Right, Ange, that's it now.
You're sold, even more now.
And Angie's like, when can I meet him?
I've got to get some time with Fred somewhere in 2021.
Somewhere on the way.
Yeah.
When we film, we do have, so our background daters aren't dates. So you can.
That's what I want.
come along.
Oh, yes, Cece, please.
And why don't you happen? Why don't you go on a background date with Joel? And everyone will be like,
no.
Is she dating Joel?
Well, no, no, that's not appropriate, Pats, is it? That's just not appropriate.
Is that your son?
Yes.
Okay, all right, I got it now.
He's only 18, so I'm sure people would be like, look at that girl over there. She looks about 50 and her date looks about 12.
Excuse me, I'm not 50. Bloody hell.
Delayed the action there.
Yeah, no, I'll just go on my own. I'll just go on my own and you can just give me some random.
Why don't we go together, Ange? Well, no, you've got to be in the background. We're the background daters. So why don't you and I go and just sit at a table and we can just have... That's the other question that we had in, Cece. What is the food like in the restaurant?
Yeah, because it always looks amazing.
It is really nice. We've changed between, obviously, London to Manchester. Yeah. And London was known for its steak, like it's his steakhouse. So the steak, oh, so good. And Manchester, it's so good. And Manchester is a bit more, a bit of everything. So like a bit like, what's that place? The Ivy, you know the Ivy's got a name.
Oh yeah,
like, nice. Shepherd's pie. Like,
Yeah.
So that kind of style. So you've got everything.
Yeah, I really want to try the food in the First Dates restaurant. Every time I watch it, I'm like, oh my God, that food.
It looks amazing. Now, we had another question that says, what advice would you give to anyone going on a first date, especially coming out of lockdown?
I would say give yourself time because we all need to adjust everything at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, socially, I have no idea what I'm going to be like, and I'd like to think that I'm a social person, but I mean, you know, in the shop I'm a bit like, you know, and you can see they're like, all right, honey, calm down, she's clearly been on our own through lockdown. So going on a date doing that as well, you know, imagine you're just going to be firing like so I would say give yourself time and don't be too hard on yourself because take the time to adjust. And when you feel ready, go out with your friends first, get that part done, you know, just figure out what it feels like to be around people because we don't know, like no one knows how we're going to feel. Nobody knows. We can imagine, but you know, in my head, I'm in a club and I'm in the middle spinning on my head. Is that really going to happen? I'm not sure.
I reckon it is actually, Cece.
Let's go
I reckon
out,
you're going to be out there.
Night out, all the sleep spin on your head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say give yourself time, spin on your head with your mates, and then meet your guy or girl or whoever you're meeting.
Yeah,
it's interesting though. You make a really good point because I don't know about you, but I've been, if I'm watching a film that's like been recorded ages ago before COVID, there's a part of me that's watching all these people like in a tiny room or in a shop going, oh my God, what are you doing? Stop touching all that stuff. Put it down. You've now fingered, you've now fingered 14 different items and you haven't bought a single one. Why aren't you wearing? And like, you have to sort of remind yourself, God, there was a life pre-COVID and 5 years ago when this film was made, you could hug each other and you could be in a small space. So it's sort of like, God, if that's our thinking when we're just watching something, how the hell is it going to feel when we're sort of back to any kind of semblance of normal and somebody bowls up to you in a supermarket and you're like, all right, mate, keep your distance.
Yeah, I'm like it now, though. You know, we're still queuing. I don't, I mean, in Streatham where I am, we're still queuing. And when someone's too close, I'm like, first person, give that look, you know.
Back off.
Don't really say anything. I just do some type of action, hoping they'll know what that means. See, socially, I've no idea. I hiss at people now. Rather than actually facing, I'm like...
That's socially acceptable. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start hissing.
Get away.
Well, look, we always make a bit of time on this show to talk about more serious subjects. And one of the things that we wanted to have a chat with you about, Cece, in terms of like social media and social media stress, you know, you have a large platform. We've got a couple of messages from some of our listeners, but I suppose the first thing for me is how do you manage social media in your life and what sort of tips do you have? Because I also think lockdown has brought just incessant scrolling, hasn't it? Like screen time just through the roof, picking up your phone, not really knowing why you've picked up your phone, just looking because there's nothing else to do. And so how do you sort of manage social media kind of stresses and social media in your life?
So I think, firstly, I probably got an advantage because I'm 30 plus, I'm 35. So I wasn't born into this world where it was only about social media. So my 20s were, you know, whatever I was doing in my 20s. But I've come into it maybe with the mindset that it isn't my life. Otherwise, it would completely control me. Through lockdown, you're completely right. You know, we're just scrolling endlessly. I think structure, if you've got to have some structure. So if you can do one thing in the day, I don't know what that might be, that you have a coffee at 10 a.m. every Monday, that's your structure, because that kind of starts your week and it kind of dictates how the day is going to go. If you start the day Monday scrolling, oh shit, it's now 10 a.m. and oh, well, I carry on, you know. And yeah, the first thing you're seeing is a girl on a beach who is size six and with a 94 pack, and you think, oh, you know, why haven't I got that? Yeah. It's such an unhealthy way to start the day. And I definitely had my, I do have my moments with social media. It might have been last January. I was kind of like penciled for an event, and I really wanted to go to this event. And anyway, didn't hear anything about it. And I'd woken up one morning, forgotten about the event, and gone on social media. And the people that I was meant to be going with had all gone to this event. And the FOMO that I felt, I was like, hold on a minute, I'm a woman, I should be feeling this. But I did, and I felt almost hurt. I was hurt in my stomach from seeing all my friends having fun. And I just thought, why am I doing this to myself? So I've got a massive thing about dogs. I absolutely am obsessed with animals, well, dogs in particular. And I follow a lot of dogs. And my majority of my following, the people I follow are dog, things I follow are dogs. And I deleted every single person or human on my account, apart from my sister, unfollowed, sorry, and just followed dogs. And the reason I did that is because I do have a habit of going on in the morning and scrolling. And I thought, what makes me happy? Dogs make me happy. So what's the best thing to do? Wake up in the morning and see some puppy wiggling around, like sniffing and doing beautiful things. That's going to make me happy. And that's going to make my day happy. And by all means, did I get messages, you know, like, babe, did you unfollow me? And I had to explain. I ended up like copying and pasting the same message because I just said, like, it's not personal, but if I follow you and I don't follow so-and-so, it becomes personal. So I've just unfollowed everyone because this is where I'm at and this is what I need for my mental health. I'm putting me first. This is what I'm doing. And it was the best thing I did. I spoke to another lady about this. She's an influencer, and she was saying, you know, I can't do that. If I don't comment on people's pictures, you know, they'll find it rude or something. And I thought, firstly, you've created that yourself. You've created them to have the power. You've chosen for them to have that power over you that, oh, wow, she didn't comment on my picture. So I think there's so many things that you can do. You know, therapy. Go and get therapy. If you like, the therapy is the best thing I've ever done. For tiny little things, you know, go and get therapy and just outright say, I've got a problem with social media. It's a habit. And, you know, it is a habit now or a problem. Help. And I think that for me was a big, I didn't know that was my problem until I'd gone to the therapy session. I was like, oh shit, I'm following loads of people I don't want to follow. So yes, I would say there are so many things you can put in place, but it starts with you. You know, what do you want? What do you need and what do you want? And whether you see it as selfish or unselfish, however you view that, sometimes we do have to be selfish to get what we want, and your mental health is most important and more important than anything else. So start with you, get that part right.
And do you think as well, I mean, I think a really hard thing, especially I think for people who, like for yourself and lots of other people, who actually your sort of social media presence is part of your life and how you kind of communicate and what people see you doing, and like there has to be a kind of line where there's stuff that you put on social media and there's stuff that actually stays private and is your private life, and no one I don't know, is that sort of something you kind of are very clear about and have a clear kind of boundary for that?
I've got better at it, and it's taken time, I think, because at one point, you know, I didn't, so with First Dates, you know, we weren't sort of thrown into fame or anything. We were sort of like gradually into it, which was quite nice. But when my following started to come up, I felt pressure. I thought, well, you know, I post every day now, I've got, you know, people following me. I don't know why I felt like I had to do that, but I did. So I think having something, a theme, so having something that you know what you're putting or what you're putting up. So some people like baking, some people like taking selfies, some people like, you know, walking the cat, whatever it is. Find that theme and stick to that, because if you don't know what you're doing, that also shows on your page. And that's when there is an overlap, because you think, oh, I haven't posted today. And then you might post something that's a bit personal. And I think I've had moments of doing that, especially with like boyfriends. You know, you think, oh, is it time that I put my boyfriend on social media now? Where's the line? But then again, you have to ask yourself, where is the line and what are you prepared? You've got to think about the consequences. If your boyfriend's up on social media, then does he want to be? Is he in that world? Is he okay with that? There's I think there's a lot of conversations that have to be had with yourself and your, say, partner if you're doing that kind of thing. But yeah, knowing your theme, I think, has helped me. So right now mine's fitness, you know, so it's easy. It's just put the fitness up and that's kind of, I've ticked the box. It's I'm doing my part. And I like to keep it, I like people to know who I am. So I will always share things. But I think I would never want to overshare, because that's, they're not my friends. My friends are my tiny little circle of people. And that's what we discuss. So otherwise, where is the line then?
Exactly.
I think as well, it's interesting, isn't it? That whole comparison thing, like my husband and I haven't been able to grow our family. We don't have children, and it's been a desperate longing for us for years. But I recently spoke on a panel about living childless. And, you know, you can get to the other side and you can think, God, I want to be where that grass is. And you get there and it's just grass. Like, it's just, it comes with its own stuff and its own difficulty. And, you know, one of the biggest things for me was people kind of moaning about homeschooling their kids during lockdown. And I went through a stage thinking, God, I give anything to have a kid. And then I thought, hang on a second, I could get over the other side of the fence and have an 8-year-old, and I get there, and it's just as hard as not having an 8-year-old because it's just grass, and everybody is managing and dealing with their own shit that nobody really knows about. And if I continue just looking over my garden fence going, oh, but I want that bit of grass, I miss out on what's right in front of me, don't I? So it steals my joy, and comparison is the thief of joy.
One of my life coaches said this to me, because I was, we were talking about comparisons, and I was, comparisons and jealousy, because I think they can kind of overlap. And I was saying how I find jealousy is such an ugly trait. You know, I don't ever want to be jealous. But she said, hang on a minute, if you're jealous, like, say you're jealous of a woman who's just got a promotion. She said, good, so you know what you want. Because what we don't seem to have at all is clarity. We never know. We do know, so but we never know. We're like, oh, I don't know what to do. So find what you're jealous of, because that will help you make your next decision. And I was like, oh, my God. And then Isn't it? Oh, she's great. Yeah. She's so bloody good. And I thought, wow, it makes me not judge myself anymore. So I'm okay. I'm allowed to feel that way. As long as I'm not acting on it, you know, I'm okay to feel jealous, because I want that too. So it's actually not, you know, comparisons aren't that bad. Jealousy and comparison, you know, they aren't terrible. They just indicate, you know, maybe some work that we need to do.
Yeah.
And I suppose how you use that.
Absolutely.
You know, you use the comparison, the jealousy, to actually help you to kind of push yourself to get where you want to be, or change some things about yourself that you think you need to address. And use it in a positive way rather than it being a negative thing.
Well, look, Cece, thank you so much. We're so grateful that you came, stopped by and had a chat with us. I think you've said some stuff that will be so helpful for so many people, the dating stuff as well as the kind of social media stresses, comparison stuff. Obviously, you can catch, what time's your radio show on FUBAR?
Fridays, 7 p.m.
You can catch Cece on FUBAR Radio Friday, 7 p.m, the dating show with our mate Pirate Pete from Towery.
Pirate Pete.
But thanks so much for joining us, Cece. We genuinely really, really
appreciate
it.
It's been great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And obviously, let's sort that date out for me to come and meet Fred.
Yes. Okay, yes. Great. Next time we're filming, Done. Sealed. Yeah. Dealed. Yes. Done. Okay.
Thank you, Cece.